Hello and welcome to The Specialist. I'm your host, Rob Barnard. And in this episode, I'll be talking with the principal of one of the UK's fastest growing specialist mortgage brokers, Emma Jones. How could I have a podcast dedicated to the specialist lending market and not invite Emma along? Her business's name sums up everything about the specialist lending in today's mortgage market, when the bank says no. I'll be discussing with Emma how her career journey got her to where she is today, as well as talking about the changing shape of the specialist lending market, calling on some of the results of the latest Pepper Money specialist lending report. I'll be also discussing with Emma something that is very close to her heart, and that's a charity called Epilepsy Action, discussing why it's not just her business that's a knockout. See what I did there? Emma, thanks so much for taking time and the trouble to come down from the northwest to be on air with me today.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be here.
Glad you're here. Made it down through the adversity of travel problems. I think it was lovely. Emma just said before we started, she said, I've listened to quite a few of your podcasts and there's not many northerners on. Well, we got two good northern people here.
Yes, we have.
So before we get into the challenges and, of course, the opportunities of the specialist lending market, come on, tell me, how did you get to be at the helm of one of the UK's fastest growing specialist mortgage broker firms? Hey, I bigged you up for that now.
Well, thanks for that, Rob. So I think everybody can see who follows me on LinkedIn that there's a lot of passion that sits behind the brand when
Absolutely.
The bank says no. And, you know, I've been running a business in the mortgage industry for 7 years now. And 2 years ago, we decided to focus on what we did best, which was helping people, because we felt we were passionate about finding solutions when, you know, other brokers said no, or lenders said no, or the bank said no. And for me, I'd gone on a personal journey, which, you know, most of you do know, that my little boy had 2 brain surgeries and he was ill from 4 months old. And that, as a family, obviously put pressures on us in order to sort of balance the financial pressures of being in hospital for probably a year of 2 years of his life. And it made me think, you know, the clients that we see all the time that have DLA on the bank statements, you know, my son has DLA, and you start to see it then as there's a disabled child in that house. You know, why are we not using that income for affordability? You know, just because somebody's had a financial impact due to a life event, that shouldn't mean that they can't get a mortgage. And that passion obviously born when the bank says no.
Yep.
And it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek at first, because you know, we had banks coming to us saying, you know, why are you speaking to us if the bank says no? And we're like, well, most people who bank with a bank
without, other banks are available
other banks are available would automatically go into that bank that they bank with and the parents have banked with, and then they get declined for a mortgage. Yep. And automatically think, that's it for me, you know.
So many people
And For me, it was a case of helping those people that thought, you know, my bank said no, and that's it for me.
Yep.
And that's sort of where When the Bank Says No was born, and that's the reason why we want to help those people.
I just think it's brilliant, mate, that you're using your own personal adversity to show empathy with customers, aren't you? To help them build that picture about, we're here to help.
Yeah.
And I always say, when the bank says no, give us a go. And
yeah.
It's a very similar sort of strapline, isn't it, for exactly what you're trying to achieve?
It is. And I think when we launched the brand, there was a lot of pushback from brokers in the industry.
Why?
Because they just felt like it was unprofessional, was some of the feedback that I'd had. And, you know, through all of that, I stepped back and I thought, we're not really bothered about what the brokers think. We're bothered about the people that want to buy a house with a family, you know, that want to put a roof over their heads, that they own and that's theirs. And it was quite apparent as soon as we launched onto TikTok and social channels.
Hang on. TikTok. Come on. You don't do them dances upstairs, do you? And things like that.
We've done a couple of dances.
Oh, mate.
But, you know, the focus has been on educating the public about, you know, credit reports, about defaults, you know, CCJs, can you get a mortgage?
And have you had anybody come to you because they've seen you on TikTok?
Our first client came through a TikTok video.
Fantastic.
Before we'd even launched the website. And that... You know, that for us was an example of clients that we wanted to go out and help. So it did go with one of the specialist lenders. You know,
yep.
It was a tough case, but she'd seen us on TikTok, seen the human side of it. And then we managed to get the mortgage over the line.
And I think that's what specialist lending is all about. I talk about conversation, not credit score.
Yeah.
And doesn't that sum up exactly what you're talking about? You're talking to people and help them build a story.
Yeah, 100%.
And our specialist lending study, and we'll come on to that again in a little bit, and I know you're familiar with it, there's a big startling figure, and I can't exactly recall the exact number, of people that go to a bank, are turned away, and end up renting for the rest of their lives.
Which is sad.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, really sad.
And I think we've got a big job to do as an industry to work maybe with more mainstream media to 100%. Sort of to raise the awareness of people that we can help. And we're not talking at silly rates here, are we? We're just talking at things that are a little bit more expensive than the high street. But why shouldn't people get a mortgage they deserve?
100%. And I think that's passion that I share in helping people. And some of the frustrations that we have, obviously, in challenging lenders is to treat clients like humans and not necessarily a case number.
Yep.
You know, and that goes all the way from the BDM that's visiting you all the way through to the underwriter that's agreeing the case. And they need to see the clients as humans from start to finish.
Yeah, totally. A couple of questions on the introductory bit, if that's all right. And if it's all right to ask, how's Marcus?
Marcus is doing fantastic at the moment.
That's brilliant. And we'll touch on him again because he's a star and we'll touch on him in a little while. And just bring to life for me older Rose as well, because obviously that's another part of the stable. How did it all sort of fit together and where did that come from?
Well, Rob, if you know me, I like a story. So
sit back, get a coffee. This could be a long one.
But Alder Rose, you know, the first house I ever bought was on Alder Street, and my daughter's middle name was Rose, so that born Alder Rose.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen much sort of in the Sunday Times. I've been in the Sunday Times with property flipping and things like that. And Alder Street was the start of that journey as well. What we found is that just made us look like any other mortgage broker in the industry, you know, Alder Rose Mortgage Services. And we needed a little bit of spice, and that's where When the Bank Says No came from.
Phenomenal. And what I think is brilliant about that is you're here saying, oh, I'm from Newton Lee Willows and all this, and you've been in the Sunday Times. I mean, that's rags to riches, isn't it?
100%.
Phenomenal. I mean, last year, I think you'll agree with me, was a challenge to all of us in the mortgage market. Whether you're a lender, whether you're a broker, we both faced our challenges. How's 2024, though, shaping up? And is there room for some sort of cautious optimism, do you think, as we're moving into the second half of the year?
I think since the fallout from the budget, I think we've as mortgage advisors, we all need to remain cautious to some degree, because there's a lot of uncontrollables at the moment, and there has been for the past 18 months. But I wouldn't say that puts you off from, you know, having your ideas, bringing them to life, wanting to bring other advisors on in your firms. You know, it shouldn't be a reason why you don't grow. It's just how you grow.
Yep.
And I do think the specialist market is probably the way that some of the brokers that focus predominantly on prime could actually make a success of the businesses by adapting that specialist arena with obviously lenders like yourself who make it easier for brokers to do business.
Yeah. And so I suppose what you've had to do, because your role changes a little bit, doesn't it, from being just an advisor just for you and just sort of putting food on the table for your family, to then sort of having people that you're responsible for as well in the office. So is a part of your role now standing back and looking at your business rather than working within your business, if that makes sense?
I'd like to say I'd leave the business to run itself, but I do
it
think
doesn't, though,
it
does
doesn't.
It?
No.
You've got to do TikToks.
But it's the passion that sits behind the brand, and I want to sort of educate my team that come on board to make them some of the best specialists in the market. And you can't do that by, you know, being sat away from it. And yeah, you know, my son is demanding, and you know, there's times where I've been in hospital and I've come back into the office after sleeping on a hospital bed, right, just to keep things going. But that's, you know, a lot of it was fight or flight. I was faced in a situation in my life where I either dug deep and got through it or rolled over. And, you know, 25 advisors now.
Wow.
Going to hit 40 by the end of the year.
Wow.
We are definitely fighting through. But behind all of that is about the advisors that we have having that passion for the clients.
And I've met a couple of them because we had a little event.
Yes.
Some of your guys. And they're just like you. They sort of enthuse specialist mortgages. Surely you know within a minute of somebody coming through the door to meet you whether they're going to fit or not.
100%. I mean, believe it or not, one of the most fundamental things that I look for in an advisor is if they have empathy.
Yep.
Because that means that they can empathize with the client's situation and they'll go that extra mile just to make sure that things happen, you know.
Yep.
Get that mortgage agreed.
Yeah.
So we're not looking for, you know, rock stars that are going to hit the ceiling in numbers but ultimately forget about the clients. It's about empathy.
Yeah.
Number one.
Because you leave a lasting impression on that person. And I always think if you make a friend of a specialist customer, you've got a customer for life.
100%.
Because they come back to you.
You know, and we're not in the business to, you know, specialist brokers, they do face a bit of adversity, you know, in the market with people saying, oh, about high fees and things like that. But ultimately, you know, I think we've got a fair fee structure. We don't overcharge. But our mission is to take the client from a complex lender to a high street lender.
Totally. Because people say to me, oh, I don't want to be a specialist customer, it's expensive. It might be expensive, but it's for a short time.
Yeah.
So people always go on at me about PTs. Where's your PT range? We have a PT range. You should never use it. Never use our PT range, because your customer, if he upholds his part or her part of the bargain, we're giving them help when they need it. Their part of the bargain is to pay the mortgage for the next 2 years and keep their credit file clean, because they can get them back to the high street. That's what they are. They should be a stepping stone back to rehabilitation.
See, one of the things that I don't know if you'll agree with me is that, you know, as an advisor, we're not only giving them advice on that mortgage, but we should be giving them a bit of advice around how they manage the credit going
holistic,
forward.
Holistic, so they don't, advice.
Yeah, so they don't end up back in that same position where they do need a PT.
Yeah. Because it is challenging times at the minute, isn't it? And I always say we must have been bad in a previous life, because we've been through so many bits of turmoil in our working lives. And I think our sort of specialist lending study which we published in sort of October last year, I think one of the scary facts there is that it suggests now that as many as 15 million people in the UK that could have some history of adverse credit. Doesn't mean they've got it today, but they've got it. 7 million of those have picked that up in the last 3 years. And of that 7 million, 1 million want a mortgage this year. I mean, do you think that we're going to see the specialist market continue to grow in the coming months and years? And do you think that affected customers are provided with enough information in the mainstream media about options available to them?
No, I don't. I think the specialist market will continue to grow, because I do see that the need, you know, if that holistic advice is probably increasing all the time. But I don't think we cover it enough. You know, we just focus on the big six. We don't really talk about these real life situations. I'd be interested to see sort of what the stats are for people who have disability living allowance, you know, and what with working families. You know, there are working families that sit around that as well.
Totally.
But we definitely don't cover it enough.
Because it's not all about adverse credit, the specialist market.
No.
It's complicated income structures, which benefits could be part of. It's self-employed. We'll come on to that in a minute. There are so many things that make up specialist lending. In fact, if you look at our book, the majority of it has no CCJs and defaults. It's just the bank doesn't like it. The bank says no.
Yeah.
So again, it perfectly dovetails into what you're doing. I mean, one thing that we saw come out of the study was the self-employed. You're self-employed.
Yeah.
A lot of advisors are self-employed, and they should empathise again with customers. 80% of all self-employed people that we surveyed said, you know what, we find it harder to get a mortgage just because we're self-employed. Is that true?
I agree with that. The conversations that we have from, you know, from clients that are coming to us after they've had those declines, or they've had somebody not understand the accounts. And I think a lot of it comes down to education of the broker. I mean, how many advisors actually understand reading of accounts?
Very few.
And, you know, is that something that we need to adapt as advisors?
All day. I mean, I remember I was an advisor years ago. I used to work at the Cheshire Building Society.
Oh,
when
yes.
That was a branch. At a branch. I worked up in Wigan and Lee, not a million miles away from you. And I must admit, I felt even then more comfortable if somebody threw 3 payslips and a P60 over the counter to me as opposed to 2 years accounts. Because it can be hard.
Yeah.
But where do you think that you guys can help self-employed people looking at specialist solutions? What sort of things do specialist lenders maybe give through your solution making ideas that maybe they don't get on the high street?
I think it's more, you know, more lenders are using net profits for affordability for limited company directors now, latest year, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Averaging of 2 can sometimes make a, you know, mortgage unreachable for somebody, whereas the latest year would work. I'd like to say, you know, more lenders getting comfortable with projections if there's a track record. You know, if we're 9 months into a financial year, maybe that's something that we could look at more in the specialist market.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a gap there, especially when there's reasons. 1 year accounts, you know, that's a massive thing. There's only a couple of high street lenders that'll do that.
Have you been reading our USPs? But you're exactly right. And I think coming out of COVID, averaging 2 and 3 years accounts just decimated people. Great example I use all the time is a builder. We had a builder pre-pandemic, was building extensions left, right and centre. The pandemic came, he couldn't go out of the house to lay bricks. The following year, he couldn't get bricks. The following year, people had saved up loads of cash and they were having extensions again, but he got 1 year's figures. The previous year were rubbish. Averaging them out didn't help him. Latest years did. So I think specialist lenders like us are really good. And we found so many people that flipped business styles. And so again, I think you're right, first year trading is another great help that specialist lenders like Pepper and so many of our peer group can offer. So hopefully that's something that you're doing loads of.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's a really big time. And you know what also? Multiple jobs. I think our study suggested that 11% of our recipients had actually taken a second job to help pay the bills.
11% had taken a second job. It doesn't surprise me with the cost of living and the, you know, the pressures that families have been facing over the last year, 18 months. It'd be nice to see more lenders using 100% of that second income, especially if hours are reasonable.
And that's where specialist lenders like us come in.
You know, we're not asking for clients that work in 100 hours.
Provable.
It's reasonable.
It's provable. You've got payslips, you've got P60s. It's not like conveniently come up with a second job. There's a track record of it. And again, why wouldn't you use 100%? I think one thing, talking about the education piece, and it'd be interesting to get your take on this, and I think you'll probably be with me on this. One thing I want to do when I finish my career in about another 20 years, because I'm only in my late 30s, is kids, education. I want to go into schools and talk to them about financials. They don't know the importance of maintaining a credit score. They might have been brought up about payday loans and things like that. I feel really strongly about that. And I think there should be more on the curriculum talking about finance and mortgages. I don't know what you think.
I completely agree. I mean, I started my career in financial services at 17 at Lloyds Banking Group. And probably for the first 2 years of that, I didn't really know what a credit card was, even though I was working around it. And I think that goes back to the education at schools. I think the only education we were ever exposed to was somebody coming in from one of the banks with a savings book and talked to us about saving. But then when you turn 18, you know, you go into shops, you're getting offered store cards, you go to buy something online and you get given a buy now, pay later.
Amazon, we use it, and other sort of online retailers are available, but you look at it, it's so easy to click pay in three installments, isn't it?
Yeah. Everywhere you go, and you know, and it's that education that we need to be capturing early on. So then we're not obviously in a position where they don't understand why that payday loan's impacted their ability to get a mortgage.
We should do something together. We should go in the Northwest schools and almost say, look, this is talking us out of business, but we never want to see you as customers of ours, and this is how you can avoid it. I do think there's something in it.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Taking us out of business, but there we go. I mean, having said that, we at Pepper are 100% intermediated, so every piece of business we have comes through you wonderful people, and I think the intermediary share of the market at the minute is in really good health. I think it's about 90% of the total market. It's great that people recognise the benefit at last of proper professional financial advice, which I think is phenomenal. And we need to do more of as lenders to promote that, because it is so vitally important. Do you think the broker's share of the market is going to stay around that figure, or can you see anything changing over the coming months and years?
I just think, you know, given the PT war, you know, that and the PTs has been absolutely crazy over the last 18 months. And I feel like when a client then applies for the PT, they tie themselves in and they've not had that advice. They're probably putting themselves in a worse position if they've got expenditure that needs to be reviewed, or they need that advice to factor in what the plans are. And it's probably restricting the homeowners then. So I'd like to see it increase slightly. Obviously, we're never going to get everybody approaching an advisor, but the more the better.
Oh, totally.
And it's positive.
And we're in good shape. And there are so many solutions that are available. A customer that comes in to see you for the first time, if they've done anything, they've probably searched at night, haven't they, at home, and they've gone on some of the comparison sites or something like that, or they might bank with so-and-so and they look there. They've never heard of Pepper, really?
No.
And I think the message that we've got to get out there is through people like yourself, which I think is vitally important. So I think education's really key. I think we have a part to play in that, and I think you guys have a part to play in it. But I'd like to see more of the mainstream media tell people the solutions that are available.
Stability is what we've missed.
Massively.
And a little bit of stability just make everybody's life a little bit easier, you know, as advisors as well.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, a change of government and all the rest of it is going into too much politics, but whatever it is, it just needs to be stable.
Give people a chance to breathe and move on.
100%.
I think it was as though, I don't know if you saw a difference, you're right, it was the back end of last year, we saw a bit of stability starting to come, rates had started to stabilise, and we started to see one thing that's been missing from the market is pipeline building. So that, and we want that, as specialist brokers and lenders, we want pipeline building, because I think when the mainstream lenders really start pumping volume through their sort of hoppers, if you like, I still think they maybe be a little bit selective on the credit score, so I think it'll give us more of an opportunity. I think it's really important we see that to sort of come through, and I just think it's vitally important that we get our message out there to say what we can do. Swap rates are a bit volatile at the minute, they're going up and down, so just when you think there's getting a bit of momentum, rates go up again a little bit. And I think some of the estate agency chains that we have dealings with, I think they were saying after Christmas this year they had more registrations on their websites to wanting to view properties and to register on sort of estate agency pages than they'd had in years, which is great. It's now giving them the message to say you can get finance.
Yeah,
I think that's massively important. So what words of sort of wisdom and advice would you give to any brokers out there? And this is obviously sort of sharing your success story with other would-be brokers that want to get into specialist. If they're still shying away from specialist areas, what do you think?
I think as advisors, you know, complex credit, complex income, that should be in as an advisor. It shouldn't be a case of, oh, I get so far down my sourcing and then that's off my pad. You know, if you take a step back, understand the client, it's easy. You know, you work with good lenders, BDMs. You know, massive thing for us at the moment is working with BDMs. I don't know if you've seen it recently on social, but we're using a hashtag, which is Power of BDM, because we want to encourage the lenders to work with us.
So come on then, let me ask, how's Richard Pugh?
Richard Pugh is all right, isn't he?
He's all right.
You know what us Northerners like, he's all
right.
Stick
together, he's all right. I just thought I'd better check.
It's a compliment. Check.
He's all right.
Do you know, Richard is an example, really, because he, you know, he comes and he supports whenever we need him. Even when things get tough, he's there to support. And that's what we need from the BDMs, because that makes our life easier. You know, there is still change to do from both parts. Brokers need to, you know, understand the criteria for complex more, not be afraid of it. But BDMs need to be there when we need support as well with those tough cases.
Because... Totally. I mean, I think BDMing is the best job in the world. Yeah. It's all I've ever done. I've only ever done specialist mortgages. And the BDMing role to me was the best job I'd ever had. Lonely job when things weren't going right and you were driving around the Northwest. But I still look that there are some people out there that give BDMing a bit of a bad name. They don't do what the basics. And to me, a good BDM does that. Doesn't run away when a case goes wrong. They're great when the dips are coming in and the applications coming in. But when they start to struggle, that's when, to me, a really good BDM steps up to the plate.
You know, and it is tough as a BDM. You know, I've got ex-BDMs in my team as brokers now, and I've seen it sort of from their side of it. You know, the some of the flack they get on the calls from brokers and things. And we believe that sort of treating the BDMs, you know, and the lenders with respect, it's mutual, and then we get that support from them. But if you are sat on the fence thinking, you know, I don't want to do specialists, it's too complex for me. You just need to change your mindset with it. You know, there's so many tools out there now that help you to source. One of the things that we do as a business is we do daily criteria drop-ins. So I host them daily. Actually missed it coming here today.
Oh, thank you. Do it tomorrow.
where our team comes on and we talk about cases together. Maybe, you know, if you're a one-man band, speak to other brokers that you know who are doing that and lean on them and form criteria chats.
You know what? I think it's sad, though. There are still a lot of brokers out there that do shy away. And I think they almost go mainstream, fail. Crikey, where do we go with that? It looks hard. I tell you what, I'll forget it and I'll go on for the next mainstream deal. I think that goes on still. I think it's less than it was, but I still think there are people that do that. And if you listen to the sort of podcast back catalogue, I actually had a customer come on.
Right.
And that customer, brilliant. I stumbled across him and I said to him, how did you get to Pepper? He said, well, I went to see a broker. And he'd got a little bit of a blip in his, and that's all it was, a bit of a blip. He said, and the broker couldn't help me. So I went to my bank and the bank said no, as you'd expect. And then he was finally referred to a broker that sort of helped him get over the line. But that broker in the first place did him a disservice. But the sort of thing that sort of makes me warm and fuzzy, if I can say that in a room with you, is he said to me, I got my mortgage with Pepper and you saved my life. And that's just phenomenal, I think. And you must hear that regularly.
I'm quite passionate about the clients, and I'll give you an example of that recently. So we'd had a client that another broker put a bridging loan on the property, regulated bridge.
Big part of the specialist sector?
Big part of the specialist sector, yeah, getting rid of that debt. Client had come to the broker in our team. We'd had a couple of weeks. You know, I'd spoke to my broker and said, look, let's go back to the bridging lender. Let's get that extension. We've got a three-month window.
Yep.
Put it in with a lender, goes in. 6 weeks later, the underwriter says, oh, I'm not going to do the case. I said, for what reason? He said, well, the income types on the case, benefit income. So I said, well, you've had this case for 6 weeks. You know, that would have been your day one. Why didn't you decline it then? And he said, well, that's just how it is. And my response to that was, we could all say it's how it is, but ultimately, if we care about these clients, we'll make it happen. And I left that call quite emotional. My team actually seemed me quite upset about it, because beneath all of it, there was a lady and a mum that was disabled living with her in the property.
A real person.
And my team seemed me cry about that. Oh, and the underwriter rang me back 2 hours later and he offered the case.
Fantastic.
And that's because we fought, and that's what we do when the bank says no, we fight for all of our clients that come through the door. And that's what brokers need to be doing. Think about the person, mum and dad test. You know, how would you feel if that was your mum and dad? How would you want them to be treated? And you're winning. Just twisting your... Just turning your mindset a little bit. Make it personal.
And you know what? Bridging is a massive part of the sector. And I am going to have an episode on future series about bridging. And people say, oh, it's difficult, it's hard, it's expensive. Sell the out at the same time as the in.
So I'm sure you...
Absolutely. Sell the exit first every day of the week. And it's almost a double bubble, isn't it? To say, that's your solution, that's your long-term plan.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's something you do on a regular basis. So... Brilliant. I think that just sums you up in a T, really. It's all about people. And it is a people 100%. Business. Conversation, not credit score. And again, touching on that empathetic side to you, I know giving back to charity is something that's very close to your heart. Tell me about this and why it means so much to you.
obviously I share the story about Marcus quite a lot.
Yep.
Reason I share that, probably personally, it's been a vent for me, you know, been a way that I could vent through the challenges of it. But what it also opened my eyes to is a lack of funding and solutions for people with epilepsy, from babies all the way to adults. And I suppose it links in with the mortgage world. So I don't like getting told no. So
I can see that.
One of the things when my son got diagnosed, it was like, well, that's it. And I just could never understand why that was it. You know, and I looked at other countries, you know, like America, and there's all these other solutions out there because they've spent money on the research. So one thing that came away from all of it, two brain surgeries. There was a month last year where he had 150 seizures in a month.
Oh, mate.
That was, you know, hourly. I was going to bed at night and he was having hourly seizures.
Scary,
you know, every
day. For him and for you.
100%. You know, going to sleep every day as a parent, not knowing if your child's going to be awake in the morning, is one of the most toughest things I've ever had to deal with. But then I thought, you know, I can hold my own. I don't like taking no for an answer. You know, I'm a fighter. But what about all the other parents that don't have that voice?
They're a bit meek and mild and just accept and...
Yeah. And every little bit of advice that I've had from medical professions over the last 2 years, I've challenged and I've been right. And so that's, you know, that for me, having a platform, you know, building a brokerage that, you know, will be pretty sized business, you know, by the end of the year.
Oh, you're going places, mate. You're going places.
And that's a platform for me to make, you know, to make a difference. So target is 50K. Right. The reason for that is because we want to sponsor a PhD into epilepsy research, which is how we make a difference. And obviously, I've roped you into helping me with when the bank says knockout.
Fantastic. That was my next question. So what's all this about? It's a knockout. Come on.
So getting together, industry's finest.
And me.
And you. 9 teams going to go head to head. For number one place.
Yep.
Okay, and it's a knockout. It's all about raising money for epilepsy research.
Yep.
So any team that's taking part, equipped with raising some money to try and get to that 50K target. And you're going to help host it, aren't you?
I think so. You just tell me what to do and I'll be there. I think it's 10 miles from home, so that's brilliant. It's a home gig. I can't wait. Give me a mic and I'll be away.
So we're doing it at Stockhold Barn in Knutsford.
Right.
On the 4th of June.
Yep.
It's going to start around... lunchtime. We're going to have a forfeit.
Okay.
I'm not telling you.
No flavour?
It's going to help us raise awareness for epilepsy is what I'm going to say, and people can't be camera shy.
Okay, so a bit thought-provoking as well.
Yes.
Yep.
And then a nice party afterwards for those that are willing to carry on and party through.
Are you fully subscribed?
Yes.
Still
room for another 2 teams, but by the time this goes out, I think we'll be full.
Brilliant. I can't wait. So... honestly, that should be lots of fun, but also that's for Marcus, isn't it? And that's raising money to support something that you both go through and the family goes through. And how rewarding will that be when we hit that 50,000 target?
You know, and it isn't about Marcus, it's about the family that don't have a voice.
Yeah.
It's all about that for me.
It's for all those hundreds of people out there that haven't got that voice. I mean, just sort of wrapping up now. So I feel embarrassed to ask the question, but there's got to be a little bit of chill time somewhere in there. How do you manage to switch off from everything if you do?
I don't, to be honest with you.
I knew the answer to that before I said it.
You know, some of us are born to be busy, and I do believe I'm one of those people. And if my life isn't chaotic, there's something not going quite right.
Yep.
Is how I've sort of learned to adapt to it. But you know, quiet time, weekends, taking Marcus out for the day, that's my favourite part of the week. So
brilliant. I think you've got a booming business. You've got something that you're very passionate about. But I think. You're similar right across everything there. You're just about people and you're about giving solutions and helping people that maybe aren't quite as well off as everybody else. So for anybody listening, how do they find out more about When the Bank Says No and Alder Rose Mortgages?
Well, we've already touched on TikTok.
Can't wait. Up and down them stairs.
TikTok, social media, obviously LinkedIn's quite... I'm quite vocal on LinkedIn about helping clients. And then obviously whenthebanksaysno.co.uk.
Give us a go.
Yeah.
When the bank says no, give us a go.
I'm not rubbing that one off you, Rob. So whenthebanksaysno.co.uk.
You've heard it first. I mean, just reach out, talk to Emma. I think you'll be in a better place. Emma, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been great to get to know a little bit more about you and also to hear how your business has grown over time to what it is today, a standout broker firm in the UK mortgage market. Using a specialist lender today is as simple as using of any of the high street lenders that you use on a regular basis. Don't just think of specialist lending as being about adverse credit. Yes, of course, it's a big part of the sector, but there are so many other areas of the market that now form part of the specialist lending arena. So don't forget, when the bank says no, give specialist lending a go. Emma, it's inspirational to hear how you regularly juggle frantically busy times at work with a busy and often challenging home life. And it's admirable to hear your support for Epilepsy Action, a charity dedicated to improving the lives of anyone affected by epilepsy through providing advice, improving healthcare, and supporting research. I didn't know until I read this, but today there's as many as 1 in 100 people in the UK that have epilepsy, and I know it's a cause that's very close to your heart. I know I speak for all my colleagues at Pepper when I say we can't wait to get involved in the fun of the It's a Knockout in June, raising lots of money in Marcus's name to support this wonderful charity. Emma, thanks again, it's been grateful.
Thank you very much, Rob.